if you are honest with God, absolutely 100%, you'll be amazed to see how God can do the miracles through you. Don't say, I'm limited, I don't know the Bible. And how much of the Bible did that Samaritan woman know? Nothing. It was honesty. If we walk in the light, we have fellowship with God. And fellowship with God means we are plugged in to the source of electricity, humanly speaking, as an illustration. And the light burns up and people will be drawn to the light. And the blood of Jesus will cleanse us at that moment from all sin. What is the requirement? Honesty. I hope all of you children from a very young age will learn one thing. Be honest. Don't tell lies. Don't tell lies to your parents. Don't tell lies in school. If you get a punishment because of that, worth it. Because you'll have fellowship with God. Very, very important. Now let's turn to Romans in chapter 5. There's a little expression in Romans chapter 5 which I want to encourage you to be established in. It's a beautiful expression. Sometimes we read something and it doesn't hit us as it says it should. Romans is it's the most systematic explanation of the gospel anywhere in the Bible. If you want a step-by-step-by-step explanation of the gospel, it is in Romans. It starts in Romans chapter 1 with the terrible list of all types of wicked people. Terrible wicked people in Romans chapter 1. You read the last half of Romans 1, chapter 1, and you see every type of sin mentioned there. And then it goes on to talks about religious sinners in chapter 2. You know, the religious sinners in chapter 2 are the ones who feel, oh, we're not as bad as those guys listed in Romans chapter 1. And then he says, all have sinned. Let me show you one verse there in Romans chapter 3. There, Romans 3:10, there is not one single person who is righteous. All are under sin. The religious people, verse 9, the Jews, the non-religious people, the Greeks. Today we would say the religious so-called Christians and the non-Christians. All are equally under sin. There is not a single person who is righteous. God did not choose any one of us because he saw some good in us. As long as you think like that, you know, there's great danger of thinking, well, I was a little better than my brother. That's why he chose me in my family. Or I was a little better than my sister or my parents. That's why he chose me. Garbage. Rubbish. Don't ever think like that. It's amazing how God chose. I'm always amazed how God chose me. I was the first person in my family to be born again. And my father was born again, but I find among our children, I was the first one to be born again. And I say, why? It's not because I was better than the others. No. Don't ever think that God chose you because of something good he saw in you. That will hinder your spiritual growth for the rest of your life. But if you can acknowledge there is no one who's righteous in the whole world, from all the world he just picked you and picked me. You say, why? I don't know. I won't know. Even when I get to heaven, I won't know. He just looked out over the world and he picked me. God has got the right to do that. And we've got to be thankful. You know, like it says, he picked Abraham like that. Why did he pick Abraham to be the father of the Jewish people? I don't know. He just went out into that heathen land of Ur and picked out one man. And that's how he chose you, my brother, sister. So don't ever look down on anyone else in your family or anyone in the world as thinking that I are better than any of them. Even if he's given you a gift to serve him. I often think as to why in the world did God choose me to preach the word of God? I don't know. I was the shyest person in my class in school. Never. Everybody knew that. Is that the right type of person God picks to preach his word? It's got nothing to do with me. He just picked me. And I recognize that, so I can never glory in the fact that I can preach. The whole world may praise me, it won't affect me, because I know what I was. And if you know what you were, you know better than anybody else what you were, my brother, sister, and God picked you and made you his child, don't ever think that you're better than anyone else. That's very, very important. And now he's brought you to the place where he's forgiven you completely, you and me. And this is the expression I want you to remember in Romans 5 verse 2. Through Christ, we have obtained an introduction by faith into this grace in which we stand and we exult in hope of the glory of God. The expression I'm thinking of is in the middle of that verse. This grace in which we stand. Please remember that expression. Always. Whenever you're discouraged. Whenever you think too highly of yourself, as if you're important or better, this grace in which I stand. I don't stand apart from that. Remember that expression. It's a beautiful expression. And it's entirely his work. I had nothing to do with it. He picked me and brought me into this grace in which I stand. And now it says in verse 9, I have been declared justified means just as if I had always been righteous. Justified is being declared righteous. And God looks at us as if we were always righteous. We were not. You know very well that you and I were not righteous. But he looks at us as if we were always righteous from day one. This is unbelievable, but it's true. But when you see that, you will not condemn yourself anymore. This self-condemnation is such a thing that the devil puts upon believers. We must get rid of it. He's made us righteous. We were enemies now, but we've been accepted by him. And from there, he leads us on this grace in which we stand. He's brought us to the place where he says, you are my child. Don't ever forget that. I've accepted you. Not because of any good I saw in you. I just chose you. And I forgave you, and I placed you in Christ. And when you stand before God today, you and I stand before God, he sees us in Christ. And when you think of that other brother or sister, you look at somebody else and say, well, he's not as spiritual as you are. Well, that you may think so, but God sees that person in Christ. He sees you in Christ, and you're not called to judge whether he's spiritual or not. Leave that to God. He can do his job. He can do his job of judging very well, without your help. Did you know that? That God can judge people very well without your helping him? You wouldn't be in a court if you see a judge sitting there and trying to pass judgment. You don't try to go and give him some advice. He doesn't need your advice. And the same with God. He doesn't need your advice as to helping other people. No. He can take care of them. Try to be a blessing to others. But don't think you can help God by saying that this is a problem with him, this is a problem with him or her, and this is no problem with me. Christians are full of this habit of gossiping and backbiting about others. That's why they don't grow spiritually. I've done it myself. But I decided this is hindering me. I'm going to finish with it. I'm going to be occupied with the things of the Lord. And whatever good I can see in others, I appreciate. The rest, I leave it. I'm not their judge. I'm not their judge in any area in their life. I need discernment because that is how I discern, for example, what books I should read. I look at a book. I've seen so many books and I look through a little bit of it. Yeah, this is not what I want to read. He doesn't edify me. He doesn't help me. I looked in the early days. I used to look at so many commentaries to try and understand the Bible because I never read the Bible. I never knew. It's all intellectual. And I said, I don't want this. Jesus never spoke as an intellectual. He spoke to the heart. And so there are believers whose fellowship will bless you. There are the believers you get nothing from. Okay, leave them alone. Don't judge them. I don't want to spend too much time with them because unless I can help them and bless them. Otherwise, I don't want to judge them. Let them go their way. I disagree with so many people in many denominations, but I don't spend my time all the time speaking about them. We want to think about the Lord. We warn about others only because just like you would warn your children. I remember a time when, in Bangalore, when there was a time when people were kidnapping children after school. Before the parents came to pick them up, small children, they would kidnap them. And we had to warn our children, be careful of some stranger coming up to you and giving you a sweet which may have a drug in it. Be careful, we had to warn. And so we also had to warn people about, as Christians, be careful, there are deceivers in the world. There are Christian preachers who are deceivers. There are books that will lead you astray. Don't read them. So we warn people, but God protects us. So I want to go on from there to this grace leads us, first of all, this grace in which we stand. And then it says here, this same grace in Romans, the next chapter, goes on, it says, can help us to overcome sin, because sin is the greatest problem we have in our life. So Romans 6:14 says, now the next step is, once God has placed you in this grace, remember this expression, the grace in which we stand, that grace will not only make you accepted before God just as if you had been righteous all your life and never committed a sin, not only that, but it will help you to overcome the present sin that you see in your life. You must believe it. Romans 6:14, sin cannot rule over you, cannot be the ruler over you because of this grace.